And I'm William Cooper.
And I'm Doyle Samley.
Go Pooh.
I pledge allegiance to the flag, to the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Feels like old times, doesn't it?
Yeah.
How do you feel about this?
Pretty good.
You've been waiting for this for quite a while?
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're back with the Hour of the Time worldwide on WBCQ, The Planet. And that's another story. Allison is 3 years old now, so you're going to begin to hear a lot from her on radio, just as you did when Pooh turned 3 and began to say the Pledge of Allegiance. Allison is sort of taking a different route. She's a little bit shy sometimes, but she likes to be a part of everything. Would you like to say hi? Say hi.
Hi.
Now say bye.
Bye.
Say bye, Pooh.
Bye.
And we'll see you guys later. Okay, folks, we're standing here in front of our BX44 RCA ribbon antique 1920s microphone that was donated by Ron Howell, and we've got one heck of a broadcast for you tonight. So don't go away. We'll be right back after this short pause. Yes, folks, love is on the air tonight. In fact, it's not just on the air here tonight. It's on the air all around the world.
From a misapprehension of the circumstances, I certainly never encouraged her. not to, to comply lawfully with the subpoena.
Mr. President, if your intent was, as you have earlier testified, you didn't want anyone to know about this relationship you had with Ms. Lewinsky, why would you feel comfortable giving her gifts in the middle of discovery in the public interest?
Why? Why indeed? Why not? I mean, Alan Weiner has just given us a whole week's worth of dissertation on why he likes to give his girlfriend gifts. And I'm sure he does a lot of other things that he doesn't want anybody to know about. So why all this hoopla about the president and his personal sex life? Well, ladies and gentlemen, I've been analyzing this for an awful long time. And I'm going to tell you what I sincerely believe this is really all about. It's another thrust at the destruction of the United States of America. It is a direct attack upon the office of the presidency. It is making our judicial system look like a laughingstock, a la O.J. Simpson. It's making the president look like one of the lowest worms that ever crawled across the earth. But if you took just about anybody in the country and you held the same kind of magnifying glass to their life, I wonder what we would find. I know what we would find, ladies and gentlemen. This is jerk around time. This is absolute nonsense. Now, if there's an investigation truly going on, and I know there is, and if there have been crimes committed in the Whitewater scandal, and we all know there was, because most of the participants in the Whitewater, what was that, real estate deal? The Whitewater real estate deal are either under indictment or in prison. So we know there were crimes committed there. We also know that there was some pretty shady dealings going on with raising money for the Democratic Party. We know, ladies and gentlemen, that narcotics have been used in the White House. We also know, ladies, and for those of you who think that there's nothing wrong with using narcotics, I beg to differ when you've got your finger just a few feet away from a button that could launch a nuclear that's what dope does to you. And while I don't care what anybody does in the privacy of their own home, you see, I believe in freedom. As long as you're not hurting the person or property of any other person, I truly, and I mean this with all my heart, I truly don't give a damn what you do. Because that's what freedom is all about. And if you want freedom, you have to give freedom to everyone else. But folks, when you have a responsible position in the White House, I don't care what your job is, you have an effect upon the possibility of causing a war. Not to mention a myriad of other things that you could have an effect upon, that you could absolutely cause to become chaotic. So, you know, don't give me this jazz about, pot doesn't hurt you and all that kind of crap. It might not hurt you in your bedroom at home, but folks, not in the White House, not in the Pentagon, not in the command center of some warship somewhere. No, sir. No, ma'am. Can't have that kind of behavior. And how about the absolute compromise of classified material with the communist Chinese in regards to intercontinental ballistic missiles, satellite technology, and a whole lot of other things? And what is this about a political party accepting huge donations from the enemies of the United States of America in order to get a president elected? You see, you don't give money to elect an official unless you're reasonably certain that that official is going to do things for you, is going to be on your side. And in this case, in the case of communist China, if Clinton's on their side, he's not on mine. Not by a long shot. So what is all this Monica Lewinsky cigar humidor stuff? that I've been watching all day long. And who cares? You see, if all of these other crimes have occurred, and we know that they have, why are they just concentrating on this one little sexual episode where the president may or may not have committed perjury, may have lied under oath, about whether or not he had sex with another adult, consenting adult? What's that all about? And I've been hearing everybody say that, oh, well, you know, everybody knew that Kennedy was doing it. How come they didn't go after Kennedy? Well, you see, that's not true. I lived during that time. I was alive then. I was a young man. I was in the Air Force, as a matter of fact, when Kennedy was assassinated. And nobody knew that Kennedy was fooling around with anybody. It was never reported in any of the press. You see, you read exposés and reports and books and things about the life of John F. Kennedy and his brother Bobby and the whole Kennedy family in those intervening years since his assassination, and you think that all of us who were alive during his presidency knew what was going on. Well, it's not true. In fact, it's just a blatant lie. Nobody knew. The press didn't report those things. Nobody went after those things. The private life of people was understood to be their private life, as it should be. You see, if you really understand the truth about the foibles of human nature, these are things that you don't want to get into, because if you get into it with one person, then the privacy of all people has been lost. Make no mistake about it, ladies and gentlemen, this is a direct attack upon the office of the presidency of the United States of America. It's not about anything else.
More inappropriate contact, that she sent me more things in the mail, and that there was sort of a disconnect sometimes between what she was saying and the plain facts of our relationship. And I don't know what caused that, but it may have been dissatisfaction with the rest of her life. I don't know. She had, from the time I first met her, talked to me about the rest of her personal life, and it may be that there was some reason for that. It may be that when I did the right thing and made it stick, that in a way she felt a need to cling more closely or try to get closer to me, even though she knew nothing improper was happening or was going to happen. I don't know the answer to that.
Ladies and gentlemen, just because a man becomes president, is he forbidden from having relations, consenting with another adult? I don't believe so. And if he's messing around on his wife, while I believe that that is absolutely wrong, it is a betrayal of your spouse, your wedded partner, so to speak, not so to speak, your wedded partner, period. It's a betrayal. It says tons of bad, bad things about a person's morals, about their loyalty, about their ability to be trusted, and all kinds of other things, but it is their private life and their private business. I don't like William Jefferson Clinton. I have never liked William Jefferson Clinton because I know that he is a sleazy, lying, slick politician who plays with words and doesn't give a damn about anybody but himself. That has become obvious to me over the years. But that's not, that, ladies and gentlemen, is not, what this is all about. This man has plenty to investigate and probably plenty to try him on and indict him on and impeach him on. And by the way, we have all 4 hours of the tape, ladies and gentlemen. All of it, every minute, all 4 hours, nothing but the 4 hours, every minute of the 4 hours, every dirty little nasty detail. And by the way, on this tape, folks, there really isn't anything mind-boggling. There is nothing explosive. I've watched every moment of it today. And the president did not get angry and fly off the handle. He did not storm or stomp out of the room. He was polite. Everybody who was there was polite. The prosecutors were polite. The lawyers were polite. Everybody was doing a job, and they were trying to get him to incriminate himself, and of course, he refused to do it. He did not say anything, ladies and gentlemen, that I could construe in any way whatsoever that could get him impeached. Now, I haven't seen all the other evidence, and this 450 pages that they released, I've looked at that, and there are some things in there that are very questionable. And he may have lied under oath. If he did, that is a felony. It's a crime. And of course, using this sexual escapade to get him to lie under oath would be very easy to do to anyone. I believe what Clinton did wrong, ladies and gentlemen, was say, I didn't have sex with Miss Lewinsky. I didn't do this, I didn't say that, I wasn't there then, she didn't do this, she didn't give me that, I didn't blah, 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 blah. Instead of, that's my personal private life between two consenting adults, it's none of your damn business, period. That's what he should have said. And he would have been right. And if he had said that, nobody could have faulted him whatsoever. But you see, they set out to get him to lie, knowing that he would not want to know his family to know the truth about what happened with Monica Lewinsky. And he fell for it. He fell right into the trap because, to put it quite bluntly, this is an arrogant, egotistical man. He really thought that he was going to get away with it. He didn't even have the sense to see the trap being set for him by his enemies. Now, I don't like the man. I'd like to see him out of that office, but for a lot of other different reasons, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm an honest man. I would never have gone about trying to set a trap for him in the manner that these scumbags have done. To me, anybody who does that is just as bad as him. And I listened all day during this 4 hours of tape, hearing these independent prosecutors trying to get him in any way they could to say something that would incriminate him. And, he's a lawyer. He knows better than that. He knows what the game is now, and he knows the game is afoot, and he knows that he's just about history, and so he's not letting it happen. Everything okay? We have two little girls here that are in and out of the studio, and that's the way it's always going to be, folks. So anyway, That's the skinny on this. If you want a copy of the tape, we have all 4 hours of it. If you weren't able to get a copy, send us $30 and we'll send it to you postpaid. There's not anything missing. We have all of it, every single word. It is history. It is extremely interesting. And on several occasions, you can see some looks on William Jefferson Clinton's face that, if you've ever caught a little child with his hand in the cookie jar, well, you know what kind of look I'm talking about. And, I believe in the American way. No one is guilty until they're proven guilty and judged guilty by a jury of their peers. I don't think Clinton's going to escape this because I don't think that this is all they have on him, ladies and gentlemen. I think they have a lot more. I don't think Starr has even begun to come forward with what he has uncovered in all these years of investigation. And if you think that this is all that Starr has culled out of all of this, then you're not playing with a full deck of cards. Something else is going to come out. Quite a bit more, as a matter of fact. And this is just the tip of the iceberg. This is the terrible, nitty-gritty, under-the-bed-at-midnight stinky stuff that you find dripping from trash cans in the alley. It's the kind of stuff that you don't want to start prying open anywhere in this country because you're dealing with human nature, the foibles of human nature, the ability of people to get trapped by temptation through their own human weaknesses. And if there's anybody out there listening who does not understand that sex is the most powerful instinct right up there with survival in every single living thing upon this earth. And many people cannot resist that urge. In fact, I go one better. I'll say most people could not resist that urge. You get a good-looking young president in the White House surrounded by eager young women, and you've got a recipe for a disaster. And I think that's exactly what we've seen. If you want to get Clinton, get him on something. That can have some respect behind it. If you want to get Clinton, get him for something real. You see, I firmly believe that every president who's ever sat in the Oval Office, or even before the Oval Office, in whatever was the place where the president lived, and for those of you who think George Washington was the first president of the United States, you're not playing with the full deck either. He wasn't. I think you could probably get every one of them on something like this at some point during their life, and specifically during the presidency, when that office carries so much romance and power and attraction with it. So enough of that. We believe in freedom. You know, I've been listening. We've been checking out WBCQ. Come on up here, Doyle.
All right.
Get up here close. Mm-hmm. We've been checking out. This is Doyle Shamlin, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. He's going to be my partner here on this broadcast for the next, I don't know, how many hundreds of years. We've been listening to WBCQ. Just about every night.
Yeah, every night.
And because we wanted to know what the signal strength was, and we wanted to know what the thrust of the management was going to be as far as policy and politics and all of that kind of thing. You see, I remember Radio New York International. I remember Alan Weiner, and I remember the days on the Becker Satellite Network. I really liked Scott Becker an awful lot. We were just unable to do business together. If he lived next door to me today, we would still be great friends. I really like Johnny Lightning. I really like Alan Weiner. You see, on May the 4th, 1992, when I first began broadcasting the Hour of the Time, they helped me out a lot. And I've got to tell you, if it hadn't been for Alan Weiner and Johnny Lightning, there would never have been an Hour of the Time. And I'm not going to forget Scott Becker either. Scott Becker was the one who gave me airtime on a satellite and allowed me to make a fool of myself on satellite before anybody heard me on shortwave radio or anywhere else, and sort of learn a little bit about what I was doing before I went on international shortwave and fell on my face. And what have we been hearing, Doyle?
Clinton.
And?
Clinton, the sex life. I don't want to talk about it. It comes up anyway.
I was amazed to hear several dissertations upon how disturbed Alan and Johnny Lightning, everybody else, were about this Clinton thing. And that one of them, I forget which one, did an experiment where they went through the shortwave bands and the radio talk shows, and every time that they tuned in, and they were very careful to say the right-wing talk show hosts, out of every 5 minutes, you know, they would tune in for 5 minutes and they would hear Clinton, and they would turn it off, and then they would go back for 5 minutes and they would hear Clinton. Well, Alan and Johnny, I got to tell you something. You know, we did the same thing with WBCQ, and we would turn it on for 5 minutes, and what did we hear?
Clinton.
and we turn it off, and then we turn it back on for 5 minutes, and what do we hear?
More Clinton.
More Clinton. So, and so I guess you guys are really right-wing radio talk show hosts. I mean, that's what I got from the whole thing, is that only right-wing radio talk show hosts do that.
Yeah.
Now, on another episode, we're going to explain to you what right-wing really means, guys, so I want you to pay attention. And we heard an awful lot of speculation about what the hour of the time is going to be about, and what we believe in, and what me, William Cooper, in particular, believes in. And I think that there's a lot of misconceptions out there. We believe in freedom. We believe, I believe, in the great liberalism of the founding fathers, who were some of the greatest liberals that ever lived. I am a liberal. I am not a conservative. Never have been. Never will be. Freedom today is still a liberal concept, and most of the people who call themselves liberals haven't got the slightest idea what freedom is all about. They want more big government to run our lives. They don't want freedom. You listen to them talk about freedom of speech and freedom of this and constitutional rights and constitutional that and rights here and rights there, and the Republicans are trying to take our freedom away and blah, 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 blah. I'm not a Republican either. Neither am I a Democrat. I am an American. You see, there's a big difference between all this. You guys get all caught up in divisions, not me. I believe in America. I believe in freedom. I believe that every man and woman on the face of this earth should be able to do whatever they damn well wish to do, whenever they damn well wish to do it, as long as they do not damage, hurt, or injure the person or property of any other human being on this earth. That's my philosophy in a nutshell. That was the philosophy of the founding fathers who created this nation. We're going to get into an awful lot of those things. Tonight, however, we're going to concentrate on one specific subject for a while. And that subject is going to be one that that I couldn't believe. I heard the old radio pirate just absolutely refuse to get into during the whole last week and a half of the debut of WBCQ. Alan Weiner was discouraging people from getting into radio. I cannot believe it. Alan, I love you, brother, but that's a big mistake. I guess to get your license, they got something holding over you. Maybe you're afraid you'll lose it. I don't know. But you see, it is not illegal to broadcast without a license. Never has been. And we're going to talk about that tonight, because I want every one of you out there to get a transmitter and start broadcasting. Oh, boy, I can see people running to stick their head in the sand now. Oh, you can't do that! You don't have a license! Oh, no! We're all going to get arrested! Not if you do it right. You see, folks, and we're going to start this week getting into the Constitution, because that's the supreme law of the land. We have a federal government that is running amok. They are terrorists. They are criminals. It is a dragon that once was caged by the founding fathers. And somehow, this dragon has gotten out of the cage. And it is running rampant, breathing fire everywhere, taking jurisdiction and authority that it does not and never has had. Unless, of course, there is no Constitution anymore. And if there is no Constitution, all this talk about free speech and constitutional rights and liberalism and conservatism and Americanism and everything else is just so much bullshit. That's the truth about that animal. You see, either the Constitution for the United States of America is the supreme law of the land, or it's not. If it's the supreme law of the land, we have a tiger, a dragon, if you will, with a whole bunch of heads that's out of its cage and needs to be put back. We have a federal government committing crimes against the citizens of the several states every single day.
And I keep hearing people talk about their constitutional rights and about the Constitution and about this and about how the government owes them this or the government needs to do that. The government doesn't owe anybody anything. The government doesn't need to do anything except get back in its cage. Understand that. I can tell from listening to these people they have never read the Constitution for the United States in their whole life, and if they have, by some miracle, and I mean miracle, I mean if they really have, which I seriously doubt, they didn't understand the word they read. You see, the Constitution doesn't give anybody any rights. The Founding Fathers recognized creator-endowed rights. They created a contract called the Articles of Confederation, which established a nation called the United States of America. And the first president of the United States of America was not George Washington. Oh, hate to pop your bubble, folks. Neither was the Articles of Confederation ever abolished or changed. It was created in perpetuity. You know what that means? It means forever. I suggest you get a copy and read it. When the Founding Fathers went to Philadelphia to have their constitutional convention, they were sent by the several colonies to amend or add to the Articles of Confederation so that they could have some control over commerce. That's the truth. They went in there and created a constitution which only one man signed. You all talk about the signers of the Constitution. Only one man signed, the rest attested to the signature. You see, something's happened in this country. You've all lost your senses. You certainly can't read, and you certainly have absolutely vacated any sense of responsibility, and you can't understand what it is that you read. The English language is very simple. Now, definitions of words change over the years. So if you want to know what the Articles of Confederation and the Constitution for the United States of America really said, you have to get the closest dictionary to that time, which still had the same meaning as the Founding Fathers meant when they wrote those words, which is the 1828 edition of Webster's Dictionary. 1828 edition of Webster's Dictionary. You can purchase it online on the internet. I'm not going to give you the address. I'm going to make you search for it. One of the purposes of the Hour of the Time is to get you, ladies and gentlemen, to learn to do research, to stop listening to other people and believing what they tell you. You see, I don't want you to believe what I tell you. I don't want you to follow me. I'm not a cult leader. I don't even know what cult means, to tell you the truth. I'm a freedom fighter. I'm an American. I believe in freedom. I believe that most of it has been taken away from us, and most of us are too stupid to even know that it has occurred. And that if we're not careful, pretty soon, somebody's going to tell us in a way that none of us are going to like. Right, Doyle?
Yep. Stomping boots.
Doyle's new to radio, and I got to get him to boost up the volume when he talks, but we'll get there. So tonight, we're going to talk about how you can become a legal and lawful broadcaster. You see, the Constitution gave the federal government certain very limited powers. Those are the only powers that they may have under any circumstances whatsoever. All of the rest of the powers not granted to the federal government nor prohibited by the Constitution belong to the states. And if the states have not taken a hold of that power and exercised it or regulated it, then to the people. To the people. To the people.
And if you read your Constitution and the Bill of Rights and all the articles in amendment thereto, you will discover this fact if you have even the slightest remnant of a brain still left in your head after the years of watching television and listening to the inanity and stupidity and outright lies that you hear broadcast across the airwaves in this country from people like Rush Limbaugh. Doyle, let me ask you something. How many people have you known that are proud to call themselves ditto heads?
A few back home.
What?
I don't know why.
What does ditto head? What does ditto head mean?
It means you think like the guy before you.
It means, folks, that you have no ability whatsoever to think for yourself. Can you believe that there are actually people in this world proud to call themselves ditto heads? Can you imagine someone actually saying, I'm a ditto head. And I'm proud of it. Oh, yes. I'm going off to the Rush Room now. Doesn't Rush Room sound an awful lot like the other room?
Mm-hmm.
Rush Room. Sounds just like it to me, folks. I got to tell you. So, in fact, it's this is absolutely incredible. It is so incredible that I can let you know what I think about it right now.
When you're out on the range and some extreme, the smart fella got one for me.
Or can be.
If you come, you start to grumble, well, you know what that means. It's time to gobble for me.
Or can be. And so there you have it, moving west. You got the wagons ready?
Yeah.
Got the beans packed?
Yes, of course.
Okay. One of my favorite movies, Blazing Saddles, has just come to life on the silver speaker covering. Yes, sir. Well, ladies and gentlemen, here's the story. The federal government has only a few powers granted to it. The only power granted to it under which the Federal Communications Commission is empowered to act is the power to regulate interstate and international commerce in radio broadcasting. If you read the law, the only real authority that the Federal Communications Commission has ever had is the authority or power to license interstate or international commercial broadcast stations broadcasting at 100 watts or above. And that rule they made themselves, the last one, the 100-watt thing. You know why they did that, ladies and gentlemen? To protect commercial and corporate broadcasters who have lots and lots of money so that they can control the ideas and the things that are said over the airwaves to the American sheeple. If you want to broadcast and you can have a transmitter somewhere that is able to broadcast only within the territorial boundaries of a state, that's a union state, then the Federal Communications has no authority whatsoever to either license or regulate that particular station. It is up to the state. It falls to the state. If the state has no regulatory agency, if the state has passed no laws regulating broadcasting, intrastate, which means within the territorial boundaries of a state, not going across those boundaries, not engaging in commercial broadcasting, okay? Has to be both, can't be one or the other. You see, if you're broadcasting intrastate commercially, and you're not crossing state lines or international boundaries, and you cannot be heard by a ship 12 miles out at sea, then you are not under the auspices of the Federal Communications Commission. Now, they can blow all the smoke and flash all the mirrors they want to. That is the law. That is the Constitution. That is the truth. In fact, if you go to the FCC website on the Internet, you will see the very first sentence on that web page, on their home page, says that the FCC is established to regulate interstate and international commercial broadcasting stations. Don't believe me? Go there right now if you've got a computer. Right, Doyle?
Yeah.
I see you're looking there. What are you looking for? Did you find it?
I was just looking under Article 1, Section 8.
By the way, Article 1, Section 8 is where most of the powers granted to the federal government are contained. Not all. There are a few more. But there are very few altogether, ladies and gentlemen, and they are specific in what they say. For instance, most of you believe that Congress, every time they pass a law, it applies to everybody in every state in this country. That's a lie. You see, ladies and gentlemen, I looked it up. And in the United States Code, I'm not going to tell you where tonight because we're going to do a special broadcast on this stuff. I'm going to show you exactly where to look it up. In the United States Code, it says acts of Congress do not apply to citizens in the states. They apply to citizens of Washington, D.C., Puerto Rico, territories, insular possessions, dockyards, forts, and land which the United States government has purchased, which has been ceded, and which jurisdiction has been legislatively granted to the United States government by the state wherein that land resides. Wow. You guys didn't know all this, did you? It also says, the United States Attorney's Handbook, acts of Congress do not apply to the citizens of the states. Citizens with a capital C. We're going to be talking about all of this stuff. You see, because you've got a lot to learn, folks. You think you know about freedom. You think you understand the Constitution. You think you know what your rights are. You think there are constitutional rights? No. Rights are granted by God. All men are created equal, endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Not inalienable, unalienable. If rights are granted by constitutions, they are granted by men who can take those rights away anytime they so desire. The Founding Fathers knew that. They built checks and balances into this government, hoping that we, as the watchdogs, would not allow any one branch or segment or person become despotic or tyrannical and take, which is the function of all governments, if they are allowed to do so, until once again the human race is enslaved as it has been throughout the history of the world.
Oh, but what about the Roman Republic? They were free citizens.
Baloney. Did you ever read Caligula? Did you ever read Julius Caesar? Free? Uh-uh.
Ancient Greece.
Well, did you ever really read about the ancient Grecian society?
Oh, well, how about England? England is free.
Oh, really? I've been to England. They're not free. There is no such thing as freedom of speech in England. In fact, England is a socialist country now with a parliamentary form of government, and the English people are taxed almost out of existence. They even have taxes that are over 100%. And all the English divers I knew, when I was a diver, when I was a deep sea diver, all the English divers I knew left England to work in other countries because they were being taxed 80% of everything that they made. And that's where many of you are trying to take us. Well, I don't want to go there. I'm not getting on that train, and I'm going to fight it until I'm not around anymore. You got to kill me to shut me up. You got to kill me to get rid of me, and you got to kill me to take my freedom away, because I'm not going to give it to you willingly. Period.
I agree.
Well, it was a man of few words. Well, we're getting close to the end of this tape here, Doyle.
Mm-hmm.
I can't. Oh, yeah, it's a 90-minute tape. That's why.
Yeah.
I kept waiting for it to run out of 30 minutes. It's a 90-minute tape. That's why it's still going. Okay, good. Well, you know what we can do? It's 46 minutes. We can turn this tape over right now. What do you think? Why don't we do that?
Yeah.
Okay, stand by, folks. We're going to turn this tape over right now. And let it go again. Okay. Wow. We're 46 minutes into a 3-hour broadcast. I'm tired already. Yeah. Are you tired?
Yeah.
It's
been a long day.
I better take a drink of water. We've been getting ready for this for a long time, folks. Oh, boy. When you talk a long time, you've got to have something to drink. So, today we're going to talk about this. How can you do this and stay within the territorial boundaries of the state? And better yet, how can you do it in a way that can make the FCC happy? Well, it just so happens we know how to do that, ladies and gentlemen. It's called micro-broadcasting. Now, you can go beyond the limits that we're going to talk about today at your own risk. If you understand the law, and if you are confident in your understanding, and you're able to walk into a court and fight it, but never give them jurisdiction if they don't have it. And I mean that. Never, ever. And in most cases, they don't have jurisdiction. So you don't want to walk into their court. What you do is you have to fight the jurisdictional issue. Me, I just tell them, you don't have jurisdiction over me, period. In this particular instance. And so, to get me in your court, you're going to have to come and kill me, because the only way I'm going in your court is dead. Dead, D-E-A-D, dead. And I mean it. That's why the Founding Fathers taught us what they taught us, and that's why they give us the Second Article and Amendment. In reality, ladies and gentlemen, wasn't to go hunting. It was to protect your person and property against thieves, murderers, and despotic governments. If you don't like that, go live in Cuba. You know, they don't let you have a gun down there. And you can live under pure communism or socialism or whatever that corruption of whatever it is that they have down there really is. Did you know that it must be pretty good, because the people in Russia now are screaming for the communists to come back and take care of them? Because they've lost the ability to be responsible and take care of themselves under communism. They don't like this democracy stuff, which leads me into another thing.
Democracy.
Democracy. Tell us about democracy, Doyle. Tell us about democracy.
Well,
what is democracy?
Mobocracy. Mob rules.
Mob rules. I hear all these people who talk about freedom and talk about protecting the rights of minorities, calling this a democracy and calling for more democracy and loving the hell out of democracy. You know what democracy is? Democracy is where all the powerful slave owners get together, because there's more of them than you, and they enslave you. That's democracy.
Mm-hmm.
because, you see, they can vote to do it because there's more of them than there are of you. You know what democracy is? Democracy is the innocent guy. Did you see To Kill a Mockingbird? That was democracy.
Yeah.
The lynch mob, that was democracy. Everybody in town got together, decided to hang this black guy who was falsely accused of raping a white girl. He was saved by a man who did not believe in democracy. Mm-hmm. What was his name? Oh, come on.
I don't remember now. All I remember is Scout. That's all I remember.
Scout, yeah.
Yeah. Scout was good.
His name was Finch.
Finch. Yeah.
Gregory Peck was the star. See, Gregory Peck didn't believe in democracy. He believed in Republican government. Oh, what's that, you say? Well, I got to tell you, it doesn't have anything to do with the Republican Party because they don't believe in Republican government either. If they did, they wouldn't be doing half the things that they do in Congress. How many of you knew that this is not a democracy, never was a democracy, was never intended to be a democracy? In fact, in the Constitution for the United States of America, Article 4, Paragraph 4, would you turn to that, please, for me? I want to read you guys something that you don't even know.
Article 4.
You're ignorant. You want democracy? Well, you better watch out because you might get it. You see, a democracy is where the mob decides everything. And if you're a minority, you lose. You lose. You want democracy? Hey, that's what Hitler had.
Mm-hmm.
Article 4, Section 4, Constitution for the United States of America. Listen carefully, all you democracy fools out there. Quote, "The United States shall guarantee to every state in this Union a republican form of government and shall protect each of them against invasion. And on application of the legislature or of the executive when the legislature cannot be convened against domestic violence." Which means the United States government cannot send troops into a state to quell domestic violence unless the legislature of the state requests that they do so by majority vote. And if the legislature is not in session or cannot be convened, not just not in session, but cannot be convened upon request of the governor. Republican form of government? Oh my, I thought this was a democracy. Do you know why they want us to believe this is a democracy? Do you know why they keep saying this is a democracy? Do you know why all of these socialists and twits and airheads in Washington, D.C. and on television keep repeating this word democracy? Why, Doyle?
It's easier to step on us.
Much easier to step on us. But there are some better clues than that. How many of you know who V.I. Lenin is? V.I. Lenin was the founder of the Soviet Union. He created a philosophy called Leninism, which is not too much different than Marxism, but it came out of Marxism. It is sort of a little improvement or or backslide from what Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels wrote. V.I. Lenin said this, and you better listen to me very carefully. Quote, "Democracy is indispensable to socialism," end quote. Karl Marx said, and I quote, "Democracy is the road to socialism," end quote. This is a constitutional republic. Our Constitution guarantees. It doesn't say, you might have. It doesn't say, well, if you want it, we'll give it to you. It doesn't say, well, you know, you can have one if you want. It guarantees every state in this union of states a republican form of government. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. If you're a real American, you'll get real high. If you're not, it'll make you sick. And if it makes you sick, you know that you're a Marxist, communist, Leninist fool, and I'll personally pay your ticket to Cuba or any other communist or socialist government that you want to go to. I promise you that. I will pay for your ticket. I will accompany you down and hug you and kiss you and say goodbye, and I will cry when you leave the dock. And I will be so happy for you. You see, I can't believe all of these people who come here for the freedom, for the opportunity, and the greatness that this country offers to anybody who wants to work for it and grab it and take it and run with it and realize the American dream. I can't believe how quickly they cry about their rights while they're in the process of destroying those rights to create some other form of government that will guarantee us nothing and protect nothing, and where the state becomes the most important aspect of your life and of the world, and where people become indispensable for the welfare of the group. And what is the group? It's the majority.
51%.
It's what the white dudes were when the black dudes were slaves. Do you understand? You see, I don't think that a lot of you understand anything about much of anything at all. It's like somebody just came through this country in the dead of night and just started, you know, injecting formaldehyde into brain cavities.
Invasion of the brain snatchers.
Yeah. You know, I went to the Luxor Hotel in Las Vegas. And I'm walking through this hotel, and I just keep realizing this place isn't right. There's something wrong about this place. And there was, folks. You see, they have all of these trees in there. Palm trees. Beautiful, tall palm trees in there. They look so real. I asked somebody, I said, how do you make these trees look so real? He said, oh, sir, they are real. Well, they're not in dirt. They're not growing. I mean, how can they be real? Oh, I'm sorry, sir, but they're preserved in formaldehyde. Trees, ladies and gentlemen, 40, 50 feet high. Big, huge coconut trees, palm trees all throughout this hotel. Injected with and preserved with formaldehyde. And then all of a sudden I realized what it was that wasn't right about this place. It smells like a tomb. And it's built like a tomb. It's a pyramid. And what I was smelling was formaldehyde, which gave me this kind of uneasy, queasy feeling, because I never liked formaldehyde in biology class in high school. And so that's what was happening there. We're almost up to the top of the hour. I can't believe it. 1 hour. Gee, this is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
1 hour. Where's our thing that we're supposed to do here? Where's our thing we're supposed to do here? Okay. I've got it right here. Don't fret, Alan. I have it right here in front of me.
Yeah.
And exactly on the hour, I'm going to do it. Okay? And, you had this written down. Around 1845, play music and flip the tape. Well, that's okay. We didn't flip the tape. We flipped the tape. The tape has been flipped. Well, I got to tell you, guys, this is really a treat to be back on the air. And to be back on the air with a good, strong signal. For all of those of you who heard rumors about how we were kicked off of WWCR, that's not true. I'm going to set you straight right now. I was on WWCR for a good 4 years. And all during those 4 years, I had requested, asked, begged for an earlier time slot, and was promised that when the first one opened up, I would get it. So when Tom Valentine left WWCR, I thought that I was going to get his old time slot because I'd been promised. And I'd been paying, you know, we'd been paying our airtime on schedule and all this kind of stuff. And come to find out, they lied to me. I was told that, no, I wasn't going to get any earlier airtime. And so that made me angry. I'm a man of principle, ladies and gentlemen. And so I kicked WWCR out of the hour of the time. We left them. And we did it because they lied to us. And we lost a huge audience. But you see, principles come before everything else in my life. Has to. If it doesn't, there can be no life. There can be no trust. There can be no truth. There can only be betrayal. There can only be uncertainty and all of that kind of stuff. And all around the world, you're listening to WBCQ, Monticello, Maine, USA. One more time, WBCQ, Monticello, Maine, USA. I guess I did that right, Alan. I'm not sure. But
the planet.
Oh, the planet.
On High Street.
Let's do that. High Street.
Here you go, Alan.
You see, we can have fun, too, while we're teaching you stuff. Well, you know, that dragon, he's out of his cage. And here's what we think about that dragon.
You.
I'll be glad when you're dead, you rascal.
You rascal, you.
When they bury you 6 feet deep, no more fried chicken can you eat. Be glad when they're dead, you rascal, you.
You rascal, you.
Oh, I'll be also glad when you're dead, you rascal, you. I'll be glad when you're dead, you rascal, you.
Ah, you rascal, you.
I'll be standing on a corner full of tears when they bring your dead body in. I'll be glad when you're dead, you rascal, you.
You rascal, you.
I'll be also glad when you're dead, you rascal, you.
You rascal, you.
I'll be also glad when you're dead, you rascal, you.
You rascal, you.
I put you through my home, wouldn't leave my wife alone. I'll be glad when you're dead, you rascal, you.
Oh, you rascal, you.
Goodness gracious. Welcome to the second hour of the time. You see, there's never hours of the time. There's only the hour of the time. And this is the hour of the time. The most important hour that ever was or ever will be, because during this hour, you're going to determine your future, and thus, you're going to help determine our collective futures. Whatever you do does make a difference. It does. What you believe in makes a difference. What they, you know what's going to happen here in 2 more minutes? We have to change another tape. No? What happened?
7:30.
7:30?
Another 45 minutes.
No. That tape.
Oh, that tape.
That's an hour tape.
Oh, I think.
That's an hour tape. In 2 minutes, we need to change that tape. Hold on. Let me get this. Sorry, folks. We're in the process of doing something else here, too. This is the one that has to go in next.
Right.
What you do is you take the other one out, put it in here. This is the one that you're going to put in. We're in the process. We got tapes going all over this place, ladies and gentlemen. This is a momentous, historic night, and we've got tapes everywhere. So we're going to do this and let you just... what are we going to let you do? Let me see here. Let me see what I've got in. I don't know what's going on. Oh, my goodness. It's not the pork and beans thing. And it's, let's go back to this one. We'll do this one, folks. Here you go. Oh, you turned it off. He caught me. Well, folks, here we are back again. Okay, we're going to tell you all about, during this hour, how to do your thing without making the FCC angry. You see, it is legal, despite what you heard last week, it is legal to transmit. Oh, yes, it is. It's called micro broadcasting. You can transmit. In fact, I'm going to tell you exactly where to go to get everything that you need, and even some things that you don't need in case you want to transmit a little higher, which means with more watts. Now, we recommend that you start out legal, lawful, according to the FCC, even though if you can broadcast within the territorial boundaries of a state, you don't have to do that. You understand what I'm saying? Now, AM skips. Even if you have a very low-power AM transmitter, it skips. Therefore, if you want to prevent transmitting across a state line or international boundary, you cannot broadcast AM. Listen to me carefully. AM skips. AM radio skips. So if you wish not to broadcast across state lines or international borders, you cannot use AC transmitters. So what can you use? Well, folks, you can use an FM transmitter, what they call a micro broadcasting transmitter. By micro broadcasting, I'm talking about anything less than 100 milliwatts or microwatts. Now, I get milliwatts and microwatts confused, okay? Somebody told me once that milliwatts is like 100,000 watt. I don't know. All I know is you can broadcast on FM at 25 thousandths of a watt or 100 thousandths of a watt, and you will be broadcasting perfectly legal. Anything 100 thousandths of a watt or less is legal. And if you are broadcasting within a state, away from a state border or an international border, you can even broadcast commercial, which means you can have commercials. You can charge for airtime. You can do all of that stuff. You see, it has to be interstate or international commercial broadcasting in order to be regulated by the FCC under the supreme law of the land and under the United States Code. Well, how do they get away with this? It's simple, folks. They just did it, and they've been doing it for so many years, it has become accepted fact. But it's not fact. It is a fraud. It is a scam. Recently, they went to shut down a friend of mine, Reverend Strawcutter, up in Michigan. I forget how many watts he was broadcasting with, but he was broadcasting intrastate. And I don't know if he was broadcasting commercial stuff or not, but he was intrastate, which means within the territorial boundaries of his state of Michigan. And he was broadcasting on FM, which is line of sight, which doesn't go very far. I mean, you can have a lot of power, and FM still will not go very far. It will go until it hits a mountain or a tall building or a hill or something like that, or the power just peters out and goes away. And so the FCC went and tried to indict him, took him into court, and guess what? For once, somebody got a federal judge who wasn't corrupt, who wasn't crooked, and who really understood the law, understood the supreme law of the land, the Constitution, and told the Federal Communications Commission, and this just happened just a couple of weeks ago, folks, told the FCC to take a hike, Ike. Your case is nothing but smoke and mirrors. You have no jurisdiction over this man. How about that? And I jumped up and down for joy. For joy, ladies and gentlemen. You see, this judge, I guess, he just said, well, I'm tired, I'm sick of being corrupted by all of this stuff. And he did the right thing. Now, of course, the FCC is going to appeal it. going to appeal it. I don't know what's going to happen when it's appealed. You see, he was broadcasting with a lot more than micro-broadcasting power. If you do what we're going to tell you tonight, you can broadcast in your neighborhood and be perfectly legal and nobody's going to bother you as long as you make sure that you do the things that we tell you to do. Now, if you want to take a shortcut, you can go directly to our website and get the whole lowdown right now. Go to our homepage, which is http://harvest-trust.org. That's http://harvest-trust.org. O-R-G. And go down the page until you see micro-broadcasting or radio broadcasting or radio or anything to do with it, and just keep clicking on stuff until you get where you want to go. We have tons and tons and tons of legal documentation there. We have tons and tons of how to do it and what you got to do and all of these kinds of things. So, if you want to broadcast, you can. You can do it lawfully. You can do it legally. You cannot broadcast over a large area unless you're lucky like I am. You see, I have the Ramsey FM100 professional FM stereo transmitter, which I purchased from Ramsey Electronics. But you see, I live way high up on a hill that overlooks a round valley. The valley is round. It goes all around this hill that I live on. And so I'm able to broadcast to about 7,000 people with this little bitty transmitter that you can literally put in a shoebox. You can put it in a shoebox, ladies and gentlemen. And I am broadcasting to 7,000 people. How am I doing it? I live way up on top of a hill, and I have an antenna that goes up just above the roof line of my house. It is also a Ramsey antenna. And we're going to talk about these things, okay? My transmitter puts out 25 thousandths of a watt. It's an FM transmitter. It's solid on frequency. It doesn't drift. It has high and low filters in it, which means it does not create harmonics on other frequencies and interfere with any other broadcast station or any other frequency. It's stereo. And folks, believe me, it sounds just as good or better than any commercial broadcasting station in the country. It really sounds good. What does my community think? They love it. Everybody in this community listens to 101.1 FM Eager. Everybody. They love it, literally. There's no commercials. This is 24-hour-a-day, real old music. You talk about golden oldies. Well, it's not the 50s golden oldies, although there are a few of those, you know, doo-wop classics in there and some classic old rock and roll. There's rhythm and blues. There is the best jazz that's ever been played in your life. The big band sound, the old World War II stuff. All of it. Old, old, old stuff. You know why we stick to the old, old, old stuff? Because all the copyrights have expired. We're not stepping on anybody's toes, ladies and gentlemen. We're not taking business away from the community, although the local broadcasting station is pretty hot under the collar because everybody wants to listen to my station. And it's not my station. It doesn't belong to me. I manage it, so to speak. The Independence Foundation hires me to manage the station. The Independence Foundation is a charitable trust. In fact, it's my daughter's charitable trust. And the job of the charitable trust is to give back to the community and to the nation some of that which we have so abundantly received over the years. And part of that is 101.1 FM Eager. You see, we believe in giving back. We believe in sharing the abundance that we have so graciously been endowed with by the freedoms in this nation that were granted to us by God and that are protected by the Constitution for the United States of America, which our founding fathers in their great wisdom wrote. Amazing, isn't it? You know what I'm going to do now? I've been talking so much and I've got to get this fellow here broken in. I'm going to let him talk about some of the stuff in the Ramsey catalog. Now, in the Ramsey catalog that we have here, the FM-100 professional FM stereo transmitter is not in this catalog. So I'm going to tell you just a little bit about it right here. The kit for the FM, there's two versions of the FM-100. There's a 1-watt version that can only be exported, and if you order that, you have to enclose a letter stating over your signature that you are going to export it if you order the 1-watt version. If you order the kit, the FM-100 kit, which is the one that I have, it costs $249.95. And I don't know what else. Well, anyway, I told you about that. I've told you all about that transmitter. Doyle is going to talk about the other things in the Ramsey catalog. And I'm going to take a little break here and sort of let my vocal cords cool off because they're getting overheated and my tongue is starting to smoke. And I don't want my teeth to get black from that, okay? So, Doyle, there you go.
All right. Sounds good. All right. So, a couple of the other transmitters that are in this catalog on the FM line, one of them is the FM-25 professional synthesized FM stereo transmitter. Now, that in its kit form runs $129.95. And it's a good transmitter also. It has synthesized for the whole FM band, so there's no frequency drift. It's strappable for higher power output. That's like running in the series or parallel. It's all DIP switches. There's no needs for tuning coils or tweaking on it. Those of you into electronics understand that. You don't need to mess with it all the time. It does not drift. This unit here is, 4 years old, and it's still rock solid on 101.1 at a transmit strength. We meter it all the time. One other version they carry also is the just a step down in price. It doesn't have as many features. The quality still just as good. This is the FM-10A. This is a good version to start out with. Doesn't offer everything, but it is true stereo. All you need to do is get the kit. $34.95. You can hook up a cassette deck, a CD player, mixer panel, whatever you want. It's got line level inputs, of course, and you're on the air essentially once you hook up an antenna. It's adjustable anywhere in the 88 to 108 megahertz band, which is your FM band. Very stable RF output, and it'll operate on anything from 1.5 to 15 volts DC, so you can run on a 9 volt battery. So it's portable, and actually this one comes with the battery clips and leads and a optional power jack, which is installed just by the AC adapter to plug it into the wall if you don't want to run on batteries all day. But this is really simple stuff, and it is very legal to do. We have lots of fun here. Some of the other things that are in this catalog, you really should contact Ramsey and get this catalog so you can see what all is available out there. But for instance, the antennas that we use here to transmit in the Round Valley of Arizona, this is available in here. They are quite simple to put together. They come with your F-type connectors, which is like your coaxial connectors, the PVC tubing to weatherproof it, essentially. It can be mounted in a vertical or horizontal orientation, however you wish, depending on, how you want to send out your signal. Very simple to put up, and actually, you can cut it right to the frequency that you want to transmit on, and that gives you, that's really tweaking there. That lets you really, really have at it, really transmit crystal clear. Although I believe the antenna here was just left factory and for close to the exact frequency, and it sounds beautiful anywhere you drive in town. And in fact, the other station in town that Bill mentioned earlier is very jealous. It's caused him to actually change his format to try to get back some of the market because he essentially didn't want to compete. He just wanted us to turn off. But we don't believe in that. And one of the other things that annoyed him, unfortunately, was the fact that most of the high school listened to this station. They still do at lunch. It's played at the high school and at local offices all over town.
Huh?
The antenna. Can't
find
the page.
Oh, I can't find the antenna?
Yeah.
Well, let me see if I can find the antenna. Yeah, it's in here, all right. You know,
I told him about it.
The antenna is really simple, folks. It's where's my headphones? Okay, when you get used to radio and you try talking to a microphone without a headphone on, it sounds weird. Sounds like you're not talking. Sounds like you're not going out anywhere. Okay, let me find the antenna. It's right somewhere. It is here.
It's in there. We know it.
It is really, it really is, folks.
We have one.
And it works. It works really good. We use, everything that we use is Ramsey. And the reason that we use it is simply because Ramsey products are made to work with Ramsey products. And I have found that they really do that, and they really do that well. Where did that little rascal go?
I have no idea.
Well,
we lost it.
Maybe it headed for higher ground. Are we flooding? Is there a flood? Hey, I can't believe this. Now this is, maybe it's on the back page. Right? Okay, let me go through it one more time, because you've got to know about the antenna. You must know about the antenna. Anyway, it's easy to put together. I ordered the kit. It's a little kit. And it's made specifically to work with Ramsey micro broadcasting FM transmitters. It works fantastically. You can trim it to the exact frequency so that it works absolutely perfectly on whatever frequency you decide that you're going to broadcast on. And I can't believe I can't find it. Anyway, what you need to do is call Ramsey and ask them for a current catalog. Because I'm sure that they've got a lot of things in their catalog now that they didn't have in this one. You see, this is an old catalog. And I can't believe it's not even there. It isn't here. It isn't. Anyway, the antenna only costs about $36, maybe. Comes in kit form. You put it together. It took me exactly an hour to put it together. And about another 2 hours to mount it on a on an antenna pole. And, you know, make everything anchored and get the wiring hooked up. And by the way, you want to use RG58, which is 50-ohm resistance cable. So that you get the best performance from your transmitter and from your antenna. And folks, let me tell you this, because you're going to see this in all the instructions you get. You're going to see it in the Ramsey catalog. In fact, you can go to the Ramsey website and look at the antenna that we're looking for right now. I'm not going to find it.
No.
I don't know why I'm not going to find it.
It's just gone.
But I'm not going to find
it.
It's either gone or my brain's gone or something. I don't. Maybe there's a page missing out of here. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Anyway, be that as it may, when you're hooking up an antenna, any antenna, listen to me very carefully, folks. Make sure that you stay away from power lines. Make sure you stay away from the power lines coming into your house. Because if while you're working on that antenna, any part of it falls and touches a power line, you could get electrocuted and killed dead. Do not try to assemble and raise an antenna in a thunderstorm or when there are dark clouds overhead, because you may attract lightning and you may get fried. Do it on a clear, sunshiny day and keep away from power lines and do everything safe. And make sure that you ground your antenna really good and your equipment is grounded really good. And that way you'll keep your equipment from being fried by a lightning strike or by static electricity or, you know, all the things that can can fry equipment. And believe me, folks, it's so easy to kill a piece of electronic equipment that has microchips in it just by a static electric spark jumping from your hand to a circuit board or something. It doesn't even have to be a circuit board. It can be the case of the radio if the radio is not grounded. I know. I've done it a couple of times. So believe me, it's the truth. And it's not good when it happens. It's really, really bad. So you can do that. Now, here's a one. Also, I am obligated to tell you this. We are not working for Ramsey Electronic Hobby and Amateur Radio Kits. We are not being paid by Ramsey. Ramsey does not know that we are doing this. Ramsey does not give us a commission, kickback, percentage, football tickets, or anything else.
Not even a new catalog.
Although, I've got to tell you, if they call an offer, we probably won't refuse. But they don't even know we're doing this. We're not doing this to make Ramsey a lot of money. We're doing this because we know Ramsey has good, economical, legal kits that you can get into and broadcast in your neighborhood. Now, let me tell you something. Unless you're way up on a hill like we are, overlooking a lot of people, you're not going to broadcast very far. If you live in a neighborhood and all the houses around you are on the same level as you, it is important that you find out what the local ordinances and laws are about how high you can have an antenna. And what you want to do is get your antenna just as high as you can possibly get it above everything that's around you. Now, if you have tall buildings around you, what you want to do is go negotiate with whoever owns those buildings to put your antenna on their roof, on a pole on their roof, mm-hmm. way above their roof, on a pole attached to the pole. And, you know, the higher you can get it, the farther you're going to transmit and the more people are going to hear you. But listen to me very carefully. If only 6 families can hear you, that's 6 more families than that ever would have heard what you're going to broadcast. Listen to me very carefully. If we can make a network of these small micro-broadcasting transmitters across America, we can knock Ted Copulate right off the air. And Dan Rethernot.
Brian Gumball.
And Brian Gumball. And Rush Limburger. Excellent in broadcasting, my donkey. My donkey.
Yeah, your donkey, okay.
Almost said it, but I didn't.
There's some other things we can mention. The ground rods, how far, spacing apart, how deep.
Yeah, why don't you do that, Doyle? Go for that. You studied that.
Yeah. Okay, when you mount your antenna, when you erect the antenna, you need to make sure it is grounded. And don't do this in the rain, like some people do. That's very dangerous. And one thing you need to do is you have to have good copper grounding rods. You can get those through electrical outlets, your hardware stores. Try to avoid the aluminum that's copper clad, like our cheap pennies. Get solid copper. You might pay half again as much, but they're much better. For your grounding, you want to run 8 feet if you can. 8 feet of grounding rod in undisturbed soil, which means don't pound it to where you just installed a new septic tank or something so all the soil is disturbed. It does not ground as well. Try to find undisturbed soil. Hammer it into the ground. If you get a 4-foot rod all the way level with the dirt, then run 2 of them. You've got essentially 8 foot of ground. Run at least a 10-gauge solid copper, not braided, solid copper wire from the grounding rods to your mast, and from the mast to the antenna, kind of daisy chain them. And if you don't know how to fasten them, you can use stainless steel hose clamps. Don't use cheap aluminum, use stainless steel. But by grounding properly, you're going to protect your equipment because the lightning and electrical problems that will incur that will ruin your equipment are actually static buildup starting on your mast. And that's what wants to attract lightning. It doesn't just come down and hit your mast.
Actually, lightning goes up from the ground.
Up from the ground, yeah. It goes up, and you have to create that static charge initially to get a buildup. Also, you can buy a static discharge unit for under $5.
Sure.
Yeah, at Radio Shack. Really simple.
We believe in spreading the American dream and the wealth to anybody who offers good products. We offer good recommendations. We get nothing from Radio Shack either. The Radio Shack people here in our town have been just absolutely wonderful with us, and have helped us an awful lot. So you can get a lot of these things from Radio Shack.
Yeah.
Including grounding rods.
Yeah, and grounding rods. Oh, tape.
Uh-oh.
Okay, we're coming up on the next tape. Is this the right time to do it?
7:30.
Okay. What's okay. Going? I'm. Would I? Okay.